Hey, everybody. I'm Scott Letty, and I'm joined by Lynn Nold and Jonathan Weibel. We're here to discuss episode 18 of The State of the Church. It's Pastor Dan's most recent video that dropped would have dropped yesterday, Wednesday. And it was talking about the concept, the idea of apprenticing Jesus. And he was looking at Luke chapter 10 and looking at three different stories there that kind of focused in on being on mission like Jesus, with Jesus, living like Jesus, loving like Jesus, and also being with Jesus, and how those three are kind of interconnected. And so I thought I'd start, Lynn, maybe asking you, of those three areas of living like Jesus, loving like Jesus, being with Jesus, which one resonates the most with you? Is there a particular one that you feel like you're doing well in or struggling with, that sort of thing?
Well, I think the one that resonates the most with me is the being with Jesus. And I think that's something I've grown into over the years. When you're home with four young kids, just that stillness of being with Jesus, aware of his presence, lingering in his presence is a little more challenging. And then as I've had empty nest, and even during COVID, I feel like that's a part that God just drew me to more and more. And I feel like I've kind of gone in and out of seasons of that just hunger to just be in Jesus' presence. And I don't know about you guys, but sometimes it just feels like, even in the being with Jesus, it's more about what I'm praying, what I'm saying to him, reading the Bible. Yeah. And I think what I've been learning more and more, and what resonates more and more, is the times that I can just sit in his presence and I don't expect him to do anything, saying I'm ready for it, I'm open for it, I would love to hear his voice, but this sweetness of just lingering in his presence because I just want to be with him, and it's not because he's going to do something for me.
I know a lot of times coming up the hill here to the offices, I'll see you out on the porch, and it's kind of like, there's Lynn, she's spending time with Jesus, and you're so bad, Scott, you're not doing this. You know, because as I was thinking about it, and we'll bump over to you here in just a second, Jonathan, mine, I feel like the one that resonates with me the most, or the one that I feel like maybe comes most naturally to me, is the doing. We talk a lot about front yard mission at Calvary, and so connecting with neighbors, hosting people, having people over our house, inviting them into our lives and our space comes really easy to me. But I oftentimes, kind of look back on the week and realize, you were kind of saying, like, maybe I've read my Bible, I've spent some time in prayer, but just that sense of, like, being in the presence of God, spending time with Jesus, just to be with Jesus, is something that I feel like too oftentimes, whether it's busyness or lack of attention on my part, kind of gets bumped out of the day or out of the week. So how about you, Jonathan? One resonates more than another?
I would say the very first historical account here in Luke 10, when Jesus sends out the 72, that's kind of an important passage for me personally, and being the director of Front Yard Mission. That's important. Like, I grab how all three of these are really important concepts, and they need one another, love God, love neighbor. And Lynn, you definitely model being with, even though you said you've grown into it. Mm-hmm. That is so absolutely essential. But it's really interesting that Jesus starts out with this story, as opposed to, like, you would think he would start out with Martha and Mary.
Almost seems out of order.
Yeah, it almost seems out of order, but I think it was by design. When Jesus called the disciples, what did he say? He said, I will make you fishers of men. He had them on mission right away, and I think so often in the church, we imprint early on new believers that their job is to learn content. And not necessarily, and it's, that's just the way a lot of churches have been doing it. Learn, discipleship equals learning content. And Jesus sends them out. And here in Luke 10, they've been like Christ followers for about 15 minutes. And then he sends them out to cast out demons and do ministry. And they come back rejoicing because, even the demons submitted to us in your name. Like Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky, and all these great things are happening, which is awesome. I think sometimes in the church, I'm not saying Calvary, I'm just saying church universal. I think sometimes in the church, we get new believers And then we get them in like a new believers class or a membership class. And then we get them in a discipleship class for 3 years. And then when they're qualified after 3 years, then we let them make coffee. And I wonder if Jesus, part of our being with and transformation is being on mission right away with Jesus. Yeah. And I think that's an important part of discipleship, you know, is that aspect. So I would kind of land there for me.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting when you consider the way that he kind of lived life, did ministry with the disciples. It was really all three of these happening at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm empowering you to do mission. You are doing it alongside of me, so you're learning how I do it.
Right.
And you're spending time with me. And there was times where he was really intentional to even kind of get away just with his disciples or even a smaller group of the disciples to kind of just be like, hey, let's just spend some time together, that sort of thing. And even modeling, you know, Jesus himself just getting away alone to be with God, to be with the Father.
Yeah.
And so, you know, all three of these were kind of happening in tandem. So I don't know that it is a clean kind of black and white, take this step and then this step and then this step. I think it is a little bit more of a relational aspect of kind of like you're spending time with Jesus and you're learning how to do all these things as you go.
I would say following Jesus is a team sport too. You know, like he sent them out two by two.
Yeah.
And so I think that's important. Like I have an exponential.
Yeah, nailed it.
That's right. I do words. Exponential amount of bravery when I'm doing something with someone else, like especially kingdom oriented.
Yeah.
Lynn, just a couple of days ago, you and I went into our physical therapy group, and we wrote a little song for them. And
we did not. You wrote a song.
I wrote a little song for them, and we performed it.
We did.
You probably wouldn't have done that if it wasn't for me.
Absolutely.
No, I'm not, like,
would not
really
have
patting
done that.
Myself in the back. But, yes. Like, and there's stuff I wouldn't do unless
we're willing
somebody,
to step out of our comfort zones when
that's
someone
right.
else is
That's right.
There
what did you say about
things.
Me that you would?
That I am... Being friends with you makes me do very uncomfortable, step into uncomfortable places that I wouldn't step into.
And I said, you're welcome.
did.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to mention have uncomfortable conversations at times, but.
You mean like right here?
I digress. So,
digress.
You know, I really appreciate you guys sharing that kind of the individual piece, but let me ask you also, you know, corporately, because, you know, the kind of the gist, the thrust of this state of the church is not just conversations, individual conversations, but it's kind of like, hey, how are we? As a church at Calvary. So, you know, being in Calvary, Lynn, you've been here with Dan for over two decades.
Yeah.
And so you've got a really unique perspective. Jonathan and I are a little bit newer, but been here for 5 or 6 years, Jonathan, for
two
or three. Yeah. So what are you guys seeing, you know, in regards to these three areas of being with Jesus, on mission, loving like Jesus? Where are you seeing a strength, an area of growth opportunity within the Calvary as a whole?
Well, probably because I'm focused on more on the being with Jesus lately. That's part. I do spiritual direction, and so that's part of spiritual direction is sitting with someone and like as they share, just looking for the rhythms of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit's at work and moving in their lives, and so I feel like my focus is more towards that being with Jesus, and that's what I'm kind of called to bring people into. I don't think that comes naturally for any of, none of it comes naturally to any of us, but I think in particular that being with Jesus, because we feel like if I'm doing something, I deserve,
right.
Which is wrong thinking, but for all of us, I think it's much easier to slip back into that earning it by either
100%.
Doing like him or becoming more like him. But I think even when sometimes our motivation is wrong, I think it's still transformative. Like God still uses it to transform us. He'll show us the places that we're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Or thinking wrongly of him. I feel like there have been numerous times where he's kind of put me flat on my back where I couldn't be effective in anything. And the lesson in that is always, I love you no matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
So I think we have to, the start of all of it, which I think when Jesus lived the earth, anyone that was around him loved him and was loved by him. I think the start of it has to be the security and in my love relationship. And then everything that we do has to be an overflow of being loved by Jesus and I love Jesus.
Yeah.
That wasn't a very good answer to your, that's not as a whole, but that's more like kind of the group that I feel like God's called me to.
Yeah, it makes me think of, you know, all the way back in the story of Genesis after the fall, you know, Adam and Eve, they ate the fruit they weren't supposed to eat. And like one of the very first things they do is they hide, you know, and that is such a, you know, all the way like fast forward to today, that's still so prevalent with us. When you think about going and just spending time with God and you kind of start thinking about like, oh, this is, you know, the stuff where I, you know, I messed up this week or I didn't measure up or I didn't do what I wanted to do or what I feel like he wanted me to do. And then there's always that temptation to be like, well, let me just kind of get that stuff in order.
Yeah.
And then I can circle back around and really enjoy my time with him. And it's really not that. It's faulty thinking.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
How about you, Jonathan?
Well, one of the things that I've noticed in the 2 years that I've been here at Calvary is that I think we're at least pretty balanced in these three areas, right? Like, and that's a really good thing. I think there's, like, one of the terms I've heard a lot is, you know, be still and know that I'm God. Like, that's been an important concept that I've grabbed just kind of vicariously here at Calvary and being with Jesus, being like Jesus, you know, the whole perichoresis and the dance and the doing like Jesus did. I think there's some really good, healthy balance that I've noticed here. I think one of the things that I love, and I would put this on Dan Nold, like the gutsiness of not having church on the fourth Sunday. I'm like, that's a big time move because it's like, most churches, most pastors would never be willing to take that kind of risk. I mean, you're losing income, you're losing community. I mean, we have a lot of people that show up on CWOW Sunday thinking that they're coming to a church service, and they're not. We call it getting CWOW'd, you know.
It's a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. But, like, I think that's really brave. You know, to do that. I've always admired that about Dan. It's really brave to put that into practice. Like, we're going to love our neighbor on that weekend.
And I think, you know, I do, you know, kind of, you know, half my time is front yard mission focused and half is kind of, you know, gathering pastor stuff. But in that vein of front yard mission, I feel like the on mission piece is, you know, maybe because of that is particularly kind of fresh in my mind or on the tip of my brain type of a thing. But, you know, I think one of the things too that we're trying to do at Calvary a little bit is redefine the mission. Because, you know, unintentionally, I think, and again, this is not a Calvary thing. I think this is kind of a capital C church thing, maybe specifically a Western church thing. It was kind of like the mission was to get people into the building.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, to get people to attend a weekend service. And then, you know, hopefully, you know, the worship's on point and pastor's got a good sermon and the Holy Spirit does something and they end up giving their life to Christ. But the mission was just kind of like, get them here. And we're really redefining the mission, saying, like, you know, Pastor Dan, I think he started this previous video out, you know, talking about it's more important how we scatter than how we gather. And so that idea of kind of redefining the mission, it's not a small thing. You know, when you're redefining, like, hey, this is the goal, you know, it takes time to kind of pivot in that way.
I would say it's a little like turning the Titanic around.
Yeah, it's not a weekend process.
It's been hard. Like, we're all used to that. That's our norm is we, you know, our mission is to invite people to church and let the pastors convert them, you know. And I think that's not how Jesus operated. And so I think that's a hard transition for us because we're used to that. And we're used to being consumers and not contributors to the kingdom. So there's that balance, you know. There's always that balance.
Yep.
So. Yeah.
Well, I think for me too, I love church. And so there are some people that have been very wounded in the church. There are some people that will never step foot into a church. But for those of us who have had a great experience, I mean, I don't mean church is perfect, but I've loved Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
And so I think for some of us, the change has been harder. Like, why would you take away something that I love? And yet, if our heart is for those who will never feel comfortable stepping foot in a church. If our heart is to love the people that God calls us to love, to scatter, then I can't sit in my comfort of what I love because it's feeding me. I need to not only push myself, but I need to have the lot, the people that don't know Jesus, that right. that need him, that will only find him through a relationship that comes outside of the church.
Yeah. Awesome. Really good stuff. You know, and in the area of you know, the kind of those three rhythms or those three aspects of our mission and our relationship with God, you know, something that Calvary's been developing is some courses, some online courses. We're calling them the kind of the master classes. And there's one, you mentioned the perichoresis, you know, the dance of, you know, connecting people to Christ, community calling. So there's a master class in place for each one of those rhythms. And then there's kind of a overarching one that you can kind of start with, just the apprenticing Jesus kind of master class. So we'd definitely encourage you guys, you know, those are all finished up. They're ready. They're available. They're accessible. So would really encourage you guys to check those out. I know the link was in Pastor Dan's video. Link's probably popping up on the screen now on this video. So definitely check those out. But before we close, just want to see if you guys had anything to add on this topic or even in regards to the master classes.
I would say, you know, we've worked really hard on all of those master classes. I think they're all really good. They are designed so that you can watch them on your own and do the content on your own, but they're also really designed that you do them in community.
Yeah.
Like, you know, our mission one, for example, which is one I'm most familiar with, it's designed that you can watch it at home, and then you get together for 1 hour and you just discuss and pray.
Yep.
So it's real simple. Anybody can do it. And one of the things that we want you to do as a Jesus apprentice, like a disciple of Jesus, is one who can be taught, but one who can teach others, is we want you to take others through these classes as well. So that's an important goal for them.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot like the story that you referenced earlier in Luke chapter 10, you know, don't go alone.
Yeah.
You could go alone.
You could.
But it's not as fruitful. It's not as beneficial. Yeah. It's not as impactful. So whether it's a spouse, whether it's a life group, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's some friends at the church or just friends from the neighborhood, you know, try to find at least one, two, three, four other people and jump into it and start having those conversations. I think you'll be really encouraged.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think that'll be it for us. We're going to wrap it up at that point. Thank you guys so much for giving us a little bit of time today and hanging out with us, and you'll be able to check out the rest of the State of the Church videos in the coming weeks.